This is the Future of HR podcast, episode 126.
We are developing leaders at every stage who are authentic, who are courageous, and continue to have an environment where they can feel comfortable to innovate. We've been around 175 years, so it's really important to us that we continue to have this environment where people can push and debate ideas and bring forth new ideas. So from a very early stage, we really want to make sure that those guiding principles are set forth.
How can you create a culture that embraces change? Why is it critical to build leaders at all levels of your organization? Hi, I'm your host, JP Elliott, and this is the Future of HR podcast, the only podcast whose mission is to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. On each episode, I interview successful HR executives and thought leaders who are reimagining, rethinking, and leading our field into the future. During our candid conversations, you will learn about their career journeys, their lessons learned along the way, and their insights on how to take our field, and most importantly, your career, to the next level. Hey everyone, there has never been a better time to be in HR, and the expectations on HR leaders has never been higher. So if you're really serious about becoming a more business-focused and strategic HR leader, then you need to make attending my Next Gen HR Accelerator program part of your 2025 development plan. The Next Gen HR Accelerator program is the best leadership development program for HR directors and managers because it'll build your business and financial acumen, sharpen your strategic thinking, elevate your executive influence and communication skills, and teach you how to translate business strategy to HR initiatives that drive impact and value. You also get the opportunity to grow as a leader, as every Next Gen HR participant receives 360 feedback, coaching from me, and leads with a targeted From To development plan. Companies who have trusted me to develop their HR leaders include Verizon, McDonald's, Nike, Prudential, Hershey, Kohler, and many more. Our next cohort starts April 22nd, and you can register now through April 2nd. Space is limited, and we expect to sell out as we have for all of our past cohorts. Go to futureofhr.com, that's futureofhr.com, or reach out to me directly to learn more. And with that, my guest this week is Monique Herrera. Monique is the Chief Colleague Experience Officer of American Express, a position she has held since 2019. And in her role, she's responsible for all aspects of the colleague experience globally, including talent management, talent acquisition, leadership development, compensation, and total well-being. Under her leadership, American Express has been named one of the top 10 companies to work for in Fortune's Great Place to Work in the U.S. list for 5 consecutive years. And in 2024, they were number 4 on that list. Truly impressive results for the American Express team. And throughout Monique's career, she's held leadership roles in various industries, including being the CHRO and Senior Executive Vice President at BNY, where she oversaw HR, marketing, and communications. And early in her career, she held a number of increasingly senior HR leadership roles at PepsiCo, Honeywell, and the Quaker Oats Company. Monique also sits on both the Executive Committee and Board of Directors of the HR Policy Association and is the Chair of the American Health Policy Institute Advisory Board. Not only does Monique have an impressive track record of success, she also has a deep commitment to being a lifelong learner, which is something we can all be inspired by. I really enjoyed my conversation and getting to know Monique as we discussed her philosophy on taking career leaps and the importance of stepping out of your comfort zone, why American Express prefers their team members as colleagues and invests in improving the colleague experience each and every day, why their framework for winning is the North Star for their business strategy and culture, how American Express is building enterprise leaders at all levels of the organization, and why next-gen HR leaders should embrace change and adopt a learn-it-all mindset, and much, much more. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this episode as you listen, so drop me a line on LinkedIn or say hello. And now let's jump into my conversation with Monique. Monique, welcome to the Future of HR podcast. How are you?
I'm great, JP. How are you? And thank you for having me.
I'm great. I'm excited to have you in the podcast. You've been someone I've been hoping to have in the podcast for a while. I'm so glad we finally got it to work out.
Thank you. Same.
And I want to start off just talking about your career. You've had a really amazing career working at great companies like PepsiCo, Honeywell, BNY Mellon, and of course, Amex, which I'm a customer and big fan of. So excited.
Thank you, JP.
I hear it's kind of a funny story about how you fell into HR. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, I think that, and you talk to a lot of different HR people, and I think this is a common thing. I've talked to many of my peers as well, and I think it's a common story. Once in a while, you'll run across people who this is what they wanted to be when they grow up. This was not the case with myself. So I did not say I want to be a CTRO when I grow up. I don't even think I knew, like most kids, what human resources was. So I started out in consulting. There were two parts to this firm. One was executive search and one was change and transformation consulting. And that was right after graduate school. I went straight through from undergrad to graduate school. I studied communication studies. And I was working just before I was about to apply to a PhD program. So I thought I would teach and go straight through. As I would kind of pitch business for these change and transformation programs, particularly, I would meet these people with the CFO, with the CEO who were in these heads of HR jobs. So I found that kind of interesting as a role, but that was my first introduction to even know there was an HR department or that people held a role like that. And then my official kind of falling into, as you put it, into HR was I was looking to go out with my friends on a workday night during the week. I was living in downtown Chicago, working in consulting. And my friend said, there's this career fair on the way and I really want to stop. It's like going to be a really cool career fair. And this was on our way to get drinks. And I thought, that doesn't sound cool to stop at a career fair on the way. But she was very persuasive. And she said, you know, let's just go and we'll just spend like 20, 30 minutes there. So we did. And I met this really great, engaging, high energy guy from Quaker Oats, which was not owned by PepsiCo at the time. It was a standalone, about a $4 billion firm. They owned Gatorade, Quaker, Rice-A-Roni, a bunch of other well-known brands. And he said, I think you would be fantastic in HR and we have some recruiting opening. Have you ever thought about being in HR? I can just really see it. I want to keep in touch. Can I reach out to you? And I just was sort of being nice to him. So I was like, oh, sure, reach out, and hadn't really thought much about it. And he was really persistent and reached out. And that is exactly how I got into HR and working at Quaker Oats in my first official HR job, first in recruiting, everything from campus to experience, to then some time in Gatorade in the foods division. So that's literally how I got into HR, by being dragged to a career fair on my way to getting drinks. Now, looking back and starting in recruiting, I think what we do is one of the most noble professions. Like, we are influencing and impacting people's lives, livelihoods, people around them, changing so much for the better as people grow in their careers, get new jobs, as we identify great talent for these great companies. And I have such a natural, I'm an extrovert, as you might be able to tell. I just gravitate towards people and potential and really bring out the best in others. And I just really loved it from that first job.
I think that's great. I agree. It's such a noble profession. And being in talent acquisition, what's cool is that you get to make that phone call and change people's lives with, we'd love you to join the firm or the company.
Yeah.
But what's also cool is, I think it's underrated, but talent acquisition, the really good recruiters, they have to learn the business. They actually
absolutely
understand what the role is, what the company needs. And we don't give enough, yeah, I think, credit to TA leaders and recruiters, because they really do understand that.
Yeah, I think it's a great, to your point, sort of enterprise business-oriented role, because you get to understand and should understand how the dots connect across the firm, how this role fits in, and the impact someone can have, and where that role may lead across the company in terms of future growth. So I think those jobs are fantastic.
Monique, the other part of your career philosophy is having the courage to take a leap. Can you tell us more about what this means and how next-gen HR leaders can apply it?
Yeah, so my career, JP, has been full of taking leaps. And some of them, maybe I didn't think of as a leap at the time, but upon reflection, I realized just how many risks that I took along the way. And I think that we all know we learn the most when we are uncomfortable, when we are not in our comfort zone, when we are stretched. I think that we know when we have something down, when we have something locked and we're performing at a high level. And I think those are the times when other people notice that it's time for you to take a leap as well. And you really need to trust in those people who take interest in you and trust in yourself to do that. So the decisions I've made across the course of my career have all been decided first when I was single and then with my husband and the three children we've had along the way over the last 25 years. We've really decided everything as a team. I always say I have my work team and I have my home team. They're both super important. And we've moved many times within the U.S., outside of the U.S. I've lived in the Bahamas. We've lived in Dubai as a family. That move came when my daughter, our youngest of the three, was just a baby. I received a call in the middle of the night from my leader at PepsiCo saying, do you want to be the SVP and chief HR officer in Asia, Middle East, and Africa? And could you and your husband go check out the schools in Dubai like this week? We knew that that was a fast-growing part of PepsiCo, actually the fastest-growing division, and that our kids would have a once-in-a-lifetime experience there and that it would make me uncomfortable, but that we would grow as a family, as people, and me as a professional exponentially. And the CEO of PepsiCo said, you need more international experience to be the CEO of the company. And I think this is a great opportunity. So the way PepsiCo succession works is if your name is first on the list, you get a call and you say, are you willing to take the leap? So my husband and I got on a plane. We got great childcare, got on a plane. And that's what we did. We moved to Dubai and we were there almost 4 years. And I think that it's easy to do what we think we're great at and easy to keep doing what people are telling us and telling our teams that we're great at when you're getting great results and you kind of have your head down and you're just doing your thing with your team. But it's hard to have someone tap you, especially for something so different. You're not sure if you can do it, how you're going to do it, and just take that leap. And I think if you want to be a senior HR leader, if you want to be a CTRO one day, I always say you've got to think in future back mode. What are the skills and experiences I might be missing that this could help me round out and differentiate me on a slate? So for me, Dubai gave me that international fast-growing market experience. When I went into financial services, banking 10 and a half years ago, that was a different industry I'd never worked in before. My advice really, JP, to sum up for the next gen HR leader is stay curious. You can learn anything you put your mind to. Stay focused on delivering great results. I always say that's what creates the pull for you in your career to get these taps on the shoulder and be open, be uncomfortable on purpose. It will definitely unlock more opportunity for you to grow.
Yeah, it's a great story. And you absolutely took a leap. That's a big change for your family. But I love how you're working backwards, right? I had that desire to be a CHRO and took that advice. But you've also attributed a lot of your success to being a lifelong learner, which I'm sure you were learning every one of these leaps. But tell us more about how you do that and make that a priority as a CHRO, which is not easy. You've got a full plate of responsibilities, but yet you still really value learning.
Growing up, my dad was a high school teacher. I lost him unexpectedly a few years ago. And I was always so motivated by the fact that he was this incredible learner and knew so much. He was the guy you wanted on your Trivial Pursuit team. He just seemed to know everything, but yet he was so curious. He was a voracious reader, would constantly ask us all sorts of questions. I could ask him anything. We'd have these long, interesting discussions, same with my kids. And that's just ingrained in me that none of us know everything. There's always more to learn. You never arrive. It doesn't matter if you're a C-suite executive. It doesn't matter if you're the CEO. There's always more to learn. And I have no ego around that. And I really try to set the right example that it doesn't matter which level you're at, what job you're in, that there's always more to learn. The world changes so quickly. There's always another angle. I'm really a strong believer in that philosophy that we can all be better in the next moment than we are right now. And that's really being curious and really knowing that you can grow along the way. And that takes a lot of humility. That means sometimes You get new information from people who have more expertise than you, which you want people that are better than you, that know more than you around you. And you got to pivot sometimes. And I just love that. I love asking questions of the team. I love taking in new information, providing those experiences to my team. And I've led a lot of major change and transformation all around the world. And so I wanted to make the most of those experiences by really deepening my understanding. It could be, how do you apply theory, practice, tools? How do you learn on the job, in the situation? Lifelong learning means, like, in 2017, I was already a sitting CTRO of a very large public company. And I thought, well, my youngest, my daughter, she's old enough now where I could actually go back and get another master's in the thing that I actually do for a living called HR. And so I went and applied to Columbia to their organizational psychology and change leadership program. Didn't even know if I would get in, and thought, well, while I'm a CTRO with an activist investor in the company and on my board, maybe in my part-time, I can go keep learning and get a master's in what I do for a living. So I sat with my CEO and I said, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And he slammed his hand on the desk, and he was a pretty quiet guy. He goes, that's amazing. That's so you. That's such an example of a lifelong learner. And you'll set a great example for everybody else. And I thought, well, oh my God, now I got to get in. So then I applied, and thank God I got in, because that would have been a little embarrassing. But I think that any issue or topic, there's always more to learn. And you can learn from everyone at every level, no matter what their role is in the organization. And then maintaining that external perspective, no matter what company you're at, no matter what industry, just never getting comfortable with this is the way we do it, but almost acting like a new colleague. Like, I just love that sort of forcing myself to be curious and keep challenging myself to not accept the status quo. Or my team knows that I always say, I don't want us to go autopilot. I always want to think about continuous improvement and ways we can stay curious to make things better for our colleagues.
Yeah, I love that. I think you're really saying, let's all be a learn-it-all and not a know-it-all.
Totally. And I love it. That's one of my favorite. That's the Microsoft thing. That's one of my favorite phrases. Yeah, it's great, because no one does. Just get humble with that and comfortable with that and just keep learning.
No, I think it's amazing. What a great story. I love that your CEO backed you up to get your master's. And I'm sure when that class was almost intimidated, they're probably like, hey, are you going to teach the class? Because you're like doing this every day.
That was a really interesting experience. I did happen to be the most senior person in the class. There was a couple of others, but I really just wanted to be a student. So what was really great is people gave me space to do that. And we had moments where they called upon the experience. So it was really great to not always have to wear that hat and be able to soak in all the learning as well. So it was a nice balance.
Hey, everyone. After a quick break, we'll be right back to our conversation with Monique. Are you ready to take your career to the next level? If you are, then you need to download the HR Leaders Blueprint, featuring battle-tested strategies from over 100 HR thought leaders and CHROs. This comprehensive 18-page guide delivers actionable steps, strategic frameworks, and real-world insights to elevate your impact. No theoretical fluff, just proven tactics to becoming a business-focused HR leader. And the best part, it's completely free. To download the HR Leaders Blueprint, go to futureofhr.com. That's futureofhr.com. And if you want to get a jumpstart on your 2025 career goals, then you do not want to miss out on the HR Leaders Blueprint.
Over the past 5 years, you've learned a lot about how to build an incredible company and build on incredible success at Amex and culture. Looking kind of past, last past 5 years, Amex has had incredible success as an organization, both financially and being recognized as an employer of choice. Can you talk to us a little more about and give us an overview of how the organization has evolved and some of the results that you have achieved in that time period?
I would probably back up a little bit and say I started a year after our chairman and CEO was named, an internal successor, Steve Squeri. He started in that position in 2018. I started with American Express in 2019. And he had laid out this vision for the company, which was to provide the world's best customer experience every day. When he did so, he started referring to our employees as colleagues, which you've heard me say already, which was a huge shift in mindset that he wanted to signal, that there was no us versus them divide, no more silos, but really what you get in every large company to some extent, but really we're all in this together as an enterprise team, and every single role is really important to winning. The vision was really encapsulated in what he called a framework for winning, which was a one-page document that we have since continued to refresh as we've grown. And it outlines our business priorities, how we're going to achieve them, what we call our blue box values, blue box like our logo, and our leadership behaviors, all those things we need to win as a team. It's really been the true north for us. And I give Steve and the senior team a lot of credit for laying that out. So when I started, I felt like HR, after doing my listening tour and traveling all over the world, and thank God I did, not knowing what was to come in 2020, I did a lot of listening, letting the MX story unfold. And it was very clear to me that HR really needed to help Steve and the team drive this strategy and really be integrated into helping us move even faster with these cultural and business shifts. So we referred to ourselves, we laid out a 3-year strategy, referred to ourselves as the colleague experience group to sync up with the strategy and really sync up with his vision to attract, develop, and engage the best colleagues in our industry and beyond. So we laid out a very aggressive strategy from that point on. And it's really been over really the last 6 years or so, to your point, that we've seen tremendous growth and transformation in our business. We've had many product refreshes where we've priced for value. We've had tremendous relevance for the generations that we serve. In fact, 60% of our consumer acquisitions are millennials or Gen Zs. We've made significant investments in marketing, including during the pandemic. We continue to make very targeted investments in our talent and our technology. So the colleague experience group, my team, we've just really been helping Steve and the entire company in a very integrated way help drive the growth that you mentioned that we've seen over the 5 to 6 years, because colleagues are really at the heart of what we do. And we feel like the best way to back our customers is to have our colleagues' backs.
It's incredible to hear that. Really the story of the success you guys have had through this framework for winning. And also I love the reframe from colleagues to associates or team members, right? That's a big shift. So I appreciate you giving more information on that. But maybe we double click a little bit on the framework for winning, because I think that's, you know, really interesting. But how, not only that's driving your business strategy, but how has that really come to life in your people strategy and the actions you guys have taken there?
Yeah, I'm very much a systems thinker, JP. So I think one of the most important things that we have done with that framework for winning strategy is how are we really going to send these signals that reinforce in different parts of the HR system, if you will, these shifts that we're trying to drive. So for example, we said every colleague really plays an important role in the success of the company. So one example might be in 2019, we expanded our annual incentive award, which is basically our annual cash bonus, to cover every single colleague, including those that are in more junior roles who were not previously eligible for a bonus. So every colleague could share in the company's success. And then during the height of the pandemic, another example is many companies pulled back on investing in their workforce, cutting wages, jobs, benefits, really an attempt to stem their business losses. We didn't do that. We invested even more in our business and in our colleagues for the long-term support. And we knew that we would want to come out strong. So we invested to ensure that we could have these ambitious growth plans and that our colleagues could help us deliver on that. And then we took care of them during that time. We had no pandemic-related layoffs. We doubled down on our care, including mental health. That really served us well, and their holistic well-being continues to be a top priority. We also introduced Amex Flex, which is our hybrid work model. We didn't rush the return to office process. We listened to our colleagues. We wanted to make sure that they felt safe and that we could feel that we could do it in a safe way. And it's been a big differentiator for us, including in our industry. For us, this investment and not being afraid to invest even a little bit ahead of the curve consistently for the long term in our customers, our consumers, our colleagues, having that we're running this place for the long term mindset, we came out of those days, including the pandemic, much stronger as a company. And I think you're seeing that in the momentum today. We have very high colleague engagement, some of the highest we've ever seen. We're posting in some of these top spots on these surveys where colleagues rank you. They're not a pay-to-play type of things. For example, we were number 4 this year on Fortune's 100 Best Company to Work For in the U.S. That's our 5th consecutive year in the top 10. We were number 1 this year for Fortune's Best Workplace in Financial Services. I could go on, but we're really setting record participation in our engagement survey and sort of satisfaction. We continue to see that. We always have room for improvement, and we're very focused on that as a team. We think about all of the growth and the opportunity, but we've really thought long-term too of what else do we need to be doing? What kind of strategy do we have? What kind of scenarios could play out that might go wrong? And how do we plan for those as well? So as a management team, we really think holistically.
Yeah, I love the focus on the long term. And I think your framework for winning, the colleague experience, you really have put kind of, you know, your money where your mouth is on these areas and really brought them to life. And so thank you for sharing so much detail around that. And you've had a lot of success. So congratulations to you and the entire Amex team. I know you're not done or satisfied. One thing you talked about is building a culture is that you really also focus on building enterprise leaders, right? Because leaders are the ones that day to day bring the Amex culture to life. And breaking down silos. And a lot of companies really struggle with this. Maybe talk a little more about your approach to building enterprise leaders and really creating this amazing culture at Amex.
I'm glad you hit on that. Critical part of our framework for winning is these leadership behaviors that I mentioned. One of the things we wanted to do in HR, the colleague experience group, as we talked about, is where are we starting really? We've always been known for growing great leaders at American Express. But we can't get comfortable, speaking of staying curious and focusing on continuous improvement. Like, how do we ensure that we are building the right leaders against all of our behaviors, one of them being an enterprise leader? That's actually one of our behaviors. And leaders who really live out our blue box values at every level. And honestly, we also think individual contributors really are leading as well from what their role is day in, day out, and the impact they have across the company. So maybe you're a people leader, maybe you're an individual contributor, but how you work on a team, how you work across the company, across borders, across functions, across businesses, how you get things done, how you represent our brand, et cetera, how you interact with customers, that's all enterprise leadership. So we're really focused at growing great leaders at every level. We've really tried to shift to a more consumer-grade experience for our colleagues so they can get the learning when and where they need it, because we really want to make sure that we are developing leaders at every stage who are authentic, who are courageous, and continue to have an environment where they can feel comfortable to innovate. We've been around 175 years. So it's really important to us that we continue to have this environment where people can push and debate ideas and bring forth new ideas. So from a very early stage, we really want to make sure that those guiding principles are set forth. We have this great program. We have a number of programs and products that we roll out that are really holistic. One of them is called Leadership at Amex, and it's a whole suite of resources and learning opportunities that help all of our colleagues strengthen their leadership skills. We created a custom, we call it Career Growth at Amex. You'll notice the theme here to the products. We do everything so it's consumer grade. You know it's coming from us. You know it's there to help you. And it's really just a codification of how you grow your career at Amex. It's just a clear, consistent set of enterprise principles that you can drill down on each of the 4 components of the model and understand the Amex way to grow. We've had people who've had multiple careers at Amex. It's a great place to grow. But how do I do that if I'm a new colleague or I've just moved into a new role? So you have this cheat kit, if you will, on all the e-learning and all of this kind of face-to-face learning you can do to start to connect the dots more clearly for colleagues around you get there by delivering strong performance and taking ownership, building more self-awareness, connecting across the enterprise and really learning about yourself and our business. That's been really, really powerful for people as they're growing as leaders. We, like every other company, hopefully large company, we move a lot of people around internally. We've gotten much better at doing that. We infuse new talent externally where we need to. We're great at onboarding people. We call it new to blue. We really want to make sure that people are growing for the long term at Amex.
Thanks. So what a holistic approach to leadership development, not only from new to blue, all the way through the different leadership learning journeys to talent mobility. I think that's one probably secret sauce for you guys is having that commitment to people and building that pipeline.
And we're kind of obsessed with those moments. We call them the moments that matter. You've heard that at other companies, but we really obsess over what is that actually like? Is it good or is it great? So our vision for the colleague experience is not just to make the experience every day as a colleague good, but to make it great. We can really understand that experience with all of the data we have. We do a lot of omni-channel, so a lot of cross-channel listening with the colleague data. So for example, it could be you're new to the company. What happens? Is that a great experience or not? It could be you got a promotion. Does anything fun happen in the communication that you can take home and share and be excited about? All those moments are so meaningful for colleagues, and we really want to make sure that it's not frustrating, but it's really this like unlock and you feel even more tied to the brand and even more excited about continuing to grow at Amex. So we really try to build programming around those moments, sometimes in an automated way, sometimes in a really personal sort of connected way. So yes, we like obsess over all of those moments and really try to think in an end-to-end integrated way. And then where we need to improve it, we do. Like, we don't just get satisfied that we got some great feedback. Okay, what didn't you like? What could be better?
Yeah, I think it's terrific. And I think not only are you driving colleague experience engagement and really making this a place you want to stay and grow, but my guess is the bottom line is also better because you've got a pipeline of leaders who understand the winning framework, your blue box values, right? And helping you guys grow the business, which is what we're all here to do.
Many times people say it in sort of like this, like just sort of throwaway comment, like, oh, it's about the people. It really is about the people. For us, it is all about our colleagues being at the center of what we do. And we have to have the value proposition really resonate with them. So they want to come work for Amex. They want to stay with Amex. And they want to grow with us. And to us, there's really four things we emphasize in that colleague value proposition. And we just keep surgically investing and making those better. So one is our culture. We've got a phenomenal culture that's embedded. Our blue box values are embedded throughout it. We've got great, strong relationship culture, shared value and purpose. People feel it when they come to the company. We want to offer really great career growth and development to our colleagues at every stage of their career journey. Diversity, equity, and inclusion, all three of those things are really important to us. And then total rewards and really holistic well-being. We want people to be at their best and perform at their best. It's not just about the performance. If you've got a whole bunch of other stuff going on, you can't check your physical and mental and financial worries at the door. We really want to help people and their loved ones at home be and perform at their best. So that's super important to us to keep getting that right as well.
Really helpful to hear that and really compelling employee value proposition. I do want to shift gears a little bit, Monique.
Sure.
This amazing heritage of Amex. I think you said 170 years. Is that right?
175, JP.
175. Yeah. That's incredible. So an organization that's been around for 175 years and you're still driving a culture and business transformation and continue to improve. What advice would you have for HR leaders who are in similar companies that maybe have a great heritage, have been around for a lot of years? How do you think about, where would you recommend them starting around this cultural evolution that you've been doing at Amex?
You really need to reflect back on with all of the changes that have happened around you, because whatever stage you're at your career, every company is going through change all the time. And it's just a matter of like how much, right? What role did you play within that change? And I think there's people who sit back and, oh, the change is happening and how, what are we going to do? Or there's the people that really lean in and think about how can I be part of shaping this change, part of driving solutions, part of bringing people along, part of raising my hand to see how I can help shape the future. And I really look for leaders who are looking to lean in and shape the future. So I'll use the example of Amex, but I've done this many times throughout my career, is I spent a significant amount of time in the beginning really listening and letting the Annex story unfold. So I did understand the history. I did understand the context. I did understand what was working well, what some of the pain points were. I understood the business and why we were looking to shift certain things and then also keep certain things the same that could like serve as guideposts for people, things that weren't changing, which I think is really important in a transformation, things I can count on that are going to be the same that maybe I love about Amex, for example. And then I mentioned it before, JP, but I traveled extensively. Not everything happens at our headquarters, you know, to various locations to learn about our business from different angles, our colleagues all around the world. And I think taking time to really learn, observe, ask lots of questions allowed me the opportunity to get a better sense of the culture, the business, and then what needed to change, or from a people perspective, how could I be part of that? So our strategy would really help deliver those results outlined in the framework for winning, really make sure that we are backing our customers in the right way, and maybe even help accelerate some of those results through aligning those strategies. Listening is something we continue to do to this day, and change is constant, and you just can't get comfortable and think you've got it all figured out. So I think having ongoing feedback channels to just understand, okay, did we get that part right? What's still challenging? How do we make things better? And not having ego around pivoting and adjusting as you go. And I think really starting where people's feet are in the change. Remembering that if you're someone who likes change like me, that's not most people. They have their own cycle they have to go through. So really starting to explain with where people are starting and then explain and communicate and explain and get input and pivot so much to the point where pretty soon people are just running with you because hopefully you've helped them understand the vision, their role within it, and they are playing that role of kind of leaning in that we talked about.
Great advice, Monique. Last question for you. What is one word or phrase that you believe will define the future of HR over the next 5 to 10 years?
There is so much that has shifted in the last 5 to 10 years when we think about it, right? It's just such a different world. And I'm sure everyone says that when they reflect. We always think like nothing could be more different as you go forward. But I think experience, pun intended, would be the word. And I think that the reason I say that is there's a traditional model of HR that I think is important for everyone to think about as an HR leader and all the core components and sub functions of HR that are critical, compensation, recruiting, et cetera. Thinking about total diversity of experience in terms of outside of the borders of what we might have thought of as traditional HR, if you will, it could be ESG, it could be kind of like next generation labor, voice of the colleague. Those things are really critically important. Understanding the business at a deeper level and how you can help drive strategy, business strategy. Those experiences are just as important as going deep in some of those sub-functional kind of areas of expertise.
I love it. The future is all about the colleague experience. Thank you for being on the Future of HR podcast.
Thank you, JP. Oh, such a great conversation. And thank you so much for having me. And thanks for all you do. I think these conversations that you host are fantastic for the profession and really enjoy it. So thank you, JP.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Future of HR podcast. Thanks again to Monique for sharing American Express framework for winning and why they're investing in the colleague experience. As always, you can go to futureofhr.com to view all of our past episodes and learn more about our mission to inspire the next generation of HR leaders. And if you enjoyed this episode of Future of HR, be sure to subscribe or share our podcast with at least one other person. This really helps us to grow the podcast and helps our mission of inspiring the next generation of HR leaders. We'll be back next week with Wanda Wallace and Darren Overfield. Wanda and Darren are leadership development expert and coaches who specialize in helping top leadership teams improve their performance and deliver business results. They'll be joining the podcast to share a new approach to driving top team effectiveness that's very compelling, innovative, and pragmatic. This will be a great conversation and one you won't want to miss. Thanks again for listening to Future of HR and being part of our community.